Hello, Frog fans. Welcome back to Post Game Beers Podcast. We are the Lupton Drinking Club. I'm your host, Kyle Malloy, at YellMK, joined by my co-host, Jacob Sailors, at JD Sailors. Hey, Jacob, before we get to some pre-pod banter, before we talk about an awesome series win over the weekend against Texas Tech, where can our fine folks pick up a new t-shirt or a new polo for this beautiful spring weather that we're having here in the fort?
Man, you already know the answer, dog. It's at Hell's Half Acre Stadium Goods. And then you can find that at hellshalfacresg.com/Lupton Drinking Club. If you use that link, it's the same price, but we get a little kickback that we can invest in the pod. For those of you joining us on YouTube tonight, we appreciate you. Let me pull up, let's share the screen. I went to the baseball collection, MK. Tell me what you see here.
See a beautiful collection. Got a hat, some shirts, a nice hoodie that they, we may not need the hoodie moving forward, but it has that brand new, you know, Frog script on it that they use for some of their Tuesday games. Pretty awesome.
Let's look at this polo. I like this polo. So we got kind of the golf shirt, the stripe. What happened?
No, nothing. The audio of this is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, look, if you're listening audio only and you want to join us in checking out Hell's Half Acre Stadium Goods, then hop on the YouTube link, man.
All right. Anyway. Appreciate Hell's Half Acre for helping us out. So, okay, fellas, in addition to Jacob, we've got the full crew here tonight. We've got our producer, Crazy Ray Cartwright, the Sultan of Stat, Martin Guerrero, and our uninformed frog, Garrett Evans. The whole LDC is here to celebrate a monumentous occasion. Gentlemen, how are we doing to start our week off so far?
I just started a new job, so I feel pretty beat.
Wow. You want to talk about it?
No, I signed an NDA. I can't talk about it.
So we're not going to get your usual spark plug energy tonight.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Congrats, man, on the new gig. Ray, how are we doing?
Exhausted. I, too, just started a new job, but mine a couple of weeks ago. And trying to figure out a sleep schedule with this when I'm having to go into work at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning is very tough.
I don't envy that schedule at all. It sounds terrible.
Do you work tonight? Is that what you're saying?
I go in at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And so this is okay. So can we do the math on that real quick? Like what would be the equivalent of doing the pod? It'd be like what? Like 2 in the morning, right? It'd be like doing the pod at 2 in the morning.
Before you go to work.
Six hours before you go to work.
Yeah. Thereabouts. Late night Ray.
Whew. And well, hopefully the momentum of talking about a series win will carry you through.
Garrett, do you have a new job that we can talk about?
I have my same job, and I feel like $1 million today. It's been a hell of a Monday. I'm full of energy. I got a good night's rest. I'm ready to talk about frog ball.
Awesome. Hey, before we talk about games, let's start off on a positive note. Well, we're going to talk about positive things the whole pod, but let's talk about the crowds at Lupton this weekend.
Hell yeah.
The berm was packed for a lot of the games, and I thought that people turned out well, despite the fact that this is usually a ranked matchup, right? You have maybe a top 25 TCU or top 25 Texas Tech, and potentially even both. This year, both are having, you know, mediocre years in terms of their past success, but I felt like the fans showed out to Lupton throughout the weekend.
Dude, yes. 5,000 on Friday. 5,000 on Friday, 5,200 on Saturday, 4,600 on Sunday. So I thought it would be like a normal crowd around 4,200 to 4,500 average, give or take. But it exceeded my expectations. And, dude, the energy was amazing. You know, like I was there Friday and Saturday, and for most of the game on Friday, it was electric. Saturday was extremely electric, and I watched from TV on Sunday, but it looked MK, I think, or Martin, were you there on Sunday?
Yes, I was there on
Sunday. How was that?
It's kind of empty, honestly. Down in the bowl, up top on the second level, and out in the berm, it was full.
4,600 is not a bad crowd, though. It's the smallest of the weekend, but
yeah, I just wish some of the people who actually own those tickets in the lower bowl actually would have gone to the games. Mm-hmm. I feel like they didn't, because like on Friday it was pretty empty too until the third inning, and then they fill it up.
You can't really say the heat was the problem because it only got up to what, 80, 82, even though it was in
right.
The, still
yeah. But was there a problem? I mean, okay, so I think we're talking about two different things. Like, I think people who just showed up for these games, whether they're Tech fans or TCU fans who saw Tech on the schedule and thought, this is the weekend I want to go out there, I thought they showed – maybe the season ticket holders didn't really show up.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say.
So two different sets of the crowd.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the energy was great, man. It was – you couldn't tell that these were lower half of the, you know, standings teams.
No, it was cool, dude. I sat up in the top both days. On Saturday, it was nutty. The whole berm was like it was completely full. It was awesome.
Here's what I was going to ask about the crowd is there another school in the country, well, probably like LSU, right, or Wake, who are like near last place in their conference and bring that kind of crowd?
That's a good question.
Because LSU is like 3-11 right now, something crazy.
What's like, I bet there's a couple like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, a couple schools like that.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Does Vandy turn out? I don't know about, I mean, I know
they got no. 10 fans, man.
Yeah, they nobody goes even when they're good.
10 fans and a guy that whistles a lot. That's about it.
I have the, I had the attendance up real quick. Let's see who's at the top.
For the country or for the Big 12?
Yeah, for the country. So Mississippi State, they're second. Ole Miss, fourth. Is Southern Miss good?
Oh, you know what looks fun is ECU. They have all those fans in the
– Yeah.
It's they're never like, in last place, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. They're not in last place.
Yeah.
Nebraska, anyway. They're in first place, right?
Probably the coolest jerseys in the country, too, if that matters.
Yeah, dude, I think it's just Ole Miss and TCU right now.
But hey, all that to say, great turnout.
Yes.
And also the fans were paid off well for it. So you guys ready to talk about some games?
Yeah.
So on Friday night, Frogs, they were off on Tuesday and Wednesday. There was some rain. You know, whether they canceled UTRGV for that, you know, we'll never know. But who cares?
Well, can we talk about – do you want to talk about that, canceling those games?
The only thing I thought – just different than the normal routine for TCU baseball was that typically they will wait until the day of, you know, to determine what the weather's going to be like.
All right. But okay. Well, I'll stop you right there. This wasn't weather related.
Well, you're saying what was left unsaid. I'm just throwing it out there. Right?
Let's just take weather out of this.
Yeah. It just tipped me off into being like, okay, there is weather coming in. And Tuesday, I don't think they would have played because it was pretty bad. But yes, it may not the entire. Both games may not have been weather related.
It's also hard though whenever you have UT Rio Grande Valley coming up and you're thinking of their travel as well in this.
Yeah.
That's the main consideration whenever you're looking at the forecast. Monday, right? Yeah, but you're looking at the forecast and you don't want them to come up here and sit and possibly not play a game or be delayed or whatever. That's the whole reason for the cancellation.
Different
than like, things would have played.
Yeah. Nefarious reasons of like, oh, you know, we just got swept last weekend against Cincinnati.
Really nefarious anymore when teams do it all the time?
I think it's a lot harder to travel when your RPI is in the 250s. It's probably harder to get somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know if this had anything to do with it. A buddy of mine lives in the Valley, big RGV fan. He goes to a lot of games with his dad. He actually said two of their starters were injured recently. And I, again, not sure if that's part of it, but they could have easily said, hey, we just don't have enough, you know, enough guys out there to make this worth it for us either. So it could have been, you know, I can see that being a mutual decision for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll keep them on the schedule just because it's like an easy out. But one day we'll play UTRGB. And it'll
remind me, Martin, didn't the coach, was he at TCU before this a while ago?
Yeah, so he was a high school coach, I think, at Eastern Hills for a while, the head coach over there for like 9 years. And then he was an assistant at TCU for a while. And then I think he went to Houston with the guy that's at West Virginia now. I believe that's what it was.
All that to say, hopefully see him next year. I don't know. When's the last time TCU traveled down there? It's probably been a bit.
Yeah, it's probably been a while. Looking at the old schedules, though, they used to go pretty often down to South Texas, either Laredo, Corpus, or UTRGV. Well, it used to be like UT Pan Am.
I feel like RGV would be a really fun road trip.
I think it would be.
I think it would be too, dude.
It sucked because it was during the day, and it was it was like elementary kids' school day or something like that.
Oh, yes.
They weren't even selling beer. But I bet you like a night game would be electric down there.
Ballpark seems like the vibes would be really fun for a night game.
Yeah, dude, we should play them like in February, a midweek game down there so that, you know, we can fix their RPI before the season starts.
All right, so we'll probably get a couple extra days of practice during the week. Host the Texas Tech Raiders for a three-game series over the weekend. Peyton Tolley starting off on the mound as usual, trying to continue his success, you know, kind of going lengthy, or, you know, long into games. Unfortunately, the bats kind of remain relatively quiet, just like Cincinnati. The only scoring offense on the night was Carson Bowen's home run in the third inning, and that was it. That was pretty much it. Tech would go on to score seven unanswered runs after that. Despite Tolley striking out 11, another kind of solid night, having double-digit strikeouts. But, you know, when you only have three hits from the fourth inning on, that's a recipe for disaster, unfortunately. So comeback was not in the works. Martin, you know, I don't want to call you out. I actually want to get your perspective. But it was a beautiful night. You know, the fans were generally there until we kind of felt like things were going off the rails a little bit. You left a little bit early. What did you see from the team at that point to say, you know what, tonight's not our night?
Well, yeah, like I said earlier, I just started this new job. I've seen how TCU looks. Friday was my 24th game of the season out of 32. I've seen plenty of TCU. I didn't think we were going to come back, so I figured I'd go spend some time with my wife before my job started.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, did any of us think at, let's see, they fell down 4-1 in the bottom of the sixth?
No, man. I think most of us were, personally, you're just scared that, uh-oh, this is just a continuation. Like, nothing's like, uh-oh, we'll just have Cincinnati. We brought it home with us. That's kind of how it felt. And clearly, that wasn't the case. The next two games proved that. But scary moments for sure. It looks like the same team we saw playing in Cincinnati.
I mean, dude, five hits, two walks. Tech had 13 hits and four walks. Tolley was good, but I think he's putting a ton of pressure on himself to win games single-handedly. That's the feeling I get watching him pitch.
I mean, you can understand why, right?
I mean,
absolutely.
Five combined runs in the last three Fridays or something like that. I mean,
yeah, keeps finding himself in these situations when he starts, where it's kind of been the case. I mean, he had another game where he didn't hit 100, but he threw 99 pitches. So another game where he's out there shouldering the weight of the whole team.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wonder if these last two starts, especially against Cincinnati and against Tech on Friday, are kind of a result of those previous two starts where he pitched well deep into the game, a complete game and then almost a complete game, both at almost 130 pitches or so. And he said after, you know, post-game interviews that, yeah, I ran out of gas, especially after the Cincinnati start. If this is kind of a side effect of extending him so long in those previous outings.
I think Perk mentioned that after we had him on after Houston, you know, that you may not see, he may continue to do this for a while, but he may have a down night. And I don't even know, I don't even consider this a bad night. It just, it was a regular night, but we couldn't score and he didn't last as long as he usually has.
Yeah. Just not a bad night, just a shorter night.
Yeah.
A shorter night for sure.
If he pitches into the sixth, giving up three runs, you shouldn't feel like we have no chance to win this game.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-mm. He got 11 strikeouts. I think he pitched pretty well. I think
I do too. It just he pitched pretty well, but I just think he's putting way too much pressure on himself to win single-handedly, like the Oklahoma State game.
I'm not saying he didn't pitch well at all. I'm just saying
I know. But to your point,
emptier quicker. Yeah.
If you're putting that much pressure on yourself mentally, that can exhaust you physically too.
Yeah, and you start overthrowing a little bit.
Tolley does lead the Big 12 in strikeouts with 83. Behind him is Sam Garcia from Oklahoma State with 69. So he is well in the lead.
Yeah,
nice.
That's kind of nice. Per TCU baseball, the Frogs never had more than four batters sent to the plate in any inning of the game, which I found kind of telling, just as a quick summary, if you want to know what happened. And then lastly, just to mention Brody Green, it was great to see him out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, re-aggravated an injury. I mean, we saw it in person as he swung the bat and kind of toppled over. Like it didn't look good. The grimace on his face wasn't great. Really hoping for positive things for Brody.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that sucked. I don't know what else to add to that.
All right. Any injury updates to worth mentioning, Martin or Ray?
I've been out of the loop here lately. I just know Brody's probably going to be – it looks like Brody's going to be down a while.
Okay. All right. Well, disappointing first night. You know, obviously trying to come back and win a series is tough after you lose the first game on Friday, but it's exactly what the Frogs did. So on Saturday, they were trying to even the series, and – despite Tech taking a 2-1 lead in the second inning, they would not score the rest of the game. Excellent pitching on the night, 5 1/3 from Luis Rodriguez, allowing just those two runs on four hits. Offensively, it was definitely a more interesting game. We saw a quote-unquote triple by Logan Maxwell. The ball flew out to the outfield. Center fielder kind of lost it in the wind, in his glove, out of the glove, called a triple, whatever. Thanks for the home cooking, TCU baseball. But we saw successful bunts by Sam Myers as well as Peyton Chanier. And in relief on the mound, Ben Abelt had a great night. But interestingly, Cole Klecker comes in the ninth inning. There are two Tech runners on base and no outs, and he proceeds to strike out three batters in a row to end the game. Quite a different position for Cole to be in after we've seen him start. You know, Jacob, I know you said you were at that game too. Any thoughts from Saturday?
Yeah, man. I don't know if, I mean, it was, first of all, it was awesome to win a game, you know, however way we can get it. I don't know if we really solved any issues with the offense, but it was nice to see 7 of the 9 guys in the lineup reach base. Yeah, we did get a lot of help out in center field with that Logan Maxwell fly ball. But if any team ever needed a break like that, it's ours right now. So I'm not going to apologize for it. Pitching was absolutely electric. I mean, that's a pretty decent Tech lineup still. And they shut them down, man, and just take the win and run, you know? Because they needed it in the worst way.
You had a clicker. I heard he was throwing like 96.
Yeah. Okay. So that did catch my eye, and I don't know if that's a result of knowing he only had to pitch one inning and it was a high leverage situation. So he's just leaving it all out there for those, you know, three hitters that he faced. But yeah, that was cool to see, man. Just like it. Cause Tech, you know, like we'll talk about this for tomorrow's game too. They were right there to win that game in the ninth, and we, you know, Cademan shut him down on Sunday and then Klecker on Saturday. So, hey, if that's how this team is going to be, and, you know, we just got to score the bare minimum of, say, like four runs and then just be electric on the mound, let's see what we can do with that, I guess, because I don't know at what point we just say this is who the offense is, and you know, we're never going to light up the scoreboard. We're just going to have to be the best pitching team in the conference going forward.
Yeah, on Saturday, the offense did enough.
It did the absolute bare minimum.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely helped out by the fly ball. Like, that can't be ignored. Not apologized for, but not ignored either.
Didn't it kind of feel like postseason baseball, though?
Saturday and Sunday for sure did. Yeah.
Saturday did.
I mean,
Saturday kind of did.
Maybe Sunday really did.
It's like the crowd was into it. There's a lot of people out there. Kind of slugfest. Not like they're hitting bombs, but just trading punches the whole way through the game. I enjoyed it. It definitely had that postseason vibe to it. And then seeing what Klecker did was kind of the icing on the cake for Saturday for me.
And I know everyone's down on the offense. You know, rightfully so, they've struggled mightily. But, you know, this isn't like we should expect 8, 9, 10 runs a game.
Why not?
Well, how many hits did we have? We had 9 hits.
I just don't think that's not baseball.
Okay. Well,
I think I struggle with that, Ray. Not that you're wrong, that's what we should expect from this team, or maybe we shouldn't expect anything different. But you know, you had Mike Rooney on the call on Saturday, which was kind of fun to have like a national broadcast. And they were talking about the fact that, which we all know at this point, TCU is not a home run hitting team. You're like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to be a home run hitting team. But he said instead, they're a team that's going to have success by stringing hits together, you know, scoring on the base pass.
Bunting, kind of.
What's that?
I said win.
Well, what he's saying is he's looking at a lot more stats going, they don't hit a lot of home runs, so how are they winning games? Okay, it's this other way. And I'm like, if we're not stringing together those hits regularly and we're not hitting home runs, then you're right. Like, we're only going to score a few runs a game. But once we get to postseason ball, that's not going to cut it. You know, I don't know.
All right. In the Big 12, hold on. Let me switch this. Give me a second.
Some of these scores that people are putting up around the country are just like stupid. You know, like, was it UVA like beat Louisville like 21-1 or something?
Yeah. Like, yeah. There were some like football scores posted this past weekend, dude, across the country. It's some stupid stuff.
I'm not saying they got to be like the most electric offense in the country. They're dead last in batting average, dead last in slugging percentage, dead last in on base percentage. I mean, are we now setting that bar as, well, this is what baseball is, to be dead last in the conference in every significant offensive category?
No, I definitely not. I think you're just looking at this game individually. Scoring 400 is okay. I get what you're saying, Jacob, and that's definitely not the goal, but we still out-hit our opponent. We still played errorless baseball. Still stole a couple bases. So we're still kind of playing our brand of the game. Granted, we want to score more than 4, but I get your point, though. You don't want to be last in every meaningful offensive category.
I'm just saying I'm not sure it's a sustainable way. If TC is going to make some noise, you know, coming into the stretch, I don't think we can just say, well, hey, man, the offense did their job. They got 4 runs. I don't think you're going to win enough games doing it that way.
I'll agree with you on that.
Unless you have the best pitching in the conference and you're just going to shut everybody down.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because, I mean, I know we're talking about 2 different seasons at this point, but like those first 13 games, there was a lot of shootouts, you know, 11, 13 runs.
Right. So the stats I read off are just conference stats.
No, I know. I'm talking about it felt like a different team, you know?
Right.
It kind of would.
It totally feels like that.
Tolley's no longer in the lineup. Brody Green is injured. Those were 2 pretty big guys early on. If nothing else but the presence of having a guy who can hit a home run at any point. You got Chatagnier, who was All-American in non-conference, and now he's batting like 100 in conference play. So that's a third of the lineup right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, even the series. Moving on to Sunday. Frogs squeak by the Sunday series with a win over Tech on Sunday, 4-3. They took an early lead with the help of Luke Boyer's 3-run home run in the first inning. That was absolutely electric. We saw Mason Bixby get his first start as a Frog on the mound. He looked okay, went 3 1/3, gave up 3 runs on 5 hits. Impressively, more impressive than him, though, were his relievers that came in and kind of shut the Tech offense down. So Ben Hampton, Zach Coyer, and then Cademan Parker ultimately to close out the game, only gave up 5 hits and 0 runs for the Red Raiders the rest of the game. So just to go to that ninth inning real quick, Coyer, they kept him in the game, which I actually agreed with. He was doing well at that point. Gets pulled because he gives up a double and then a walk. So you've got 2 runners on, ninth inning, Frogs up by 1, and they decide to go to Cademan Parker, who gets 2 quick flyouts and then strikes out the last batter to end the game and to win the series. I mean, just a really fun, like Ray said, felt like postseason ball, you know, felt like a regional where you're hanging on every single pitch. And fortunately, it was in the Frogs' favor.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a similar story to Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's almost the same exact story as Saturday.
Playing on the margins. Yeah, playing on the margins. You got to get electric pitching and just hope the runs you do score holds up.
Yeah, I mean, Cademan and Cole are got to be the MVPs of the weekend, right? They were able to do on the ninth. That's pretty freaking cool on Sunday. It's a neat way to win a ball game. It's ice in your veins, dude.
Yeah, Cademan looked great. Lewis looked great. I mean, I haven't had a problem with pitching, you know, ever since like Kansas. So
yeah, truth.
Do you think these are the best 3 arms to start in the weekend?
Yeah, I left out Bixby, but I didn't feel great going into Sunday until I saw Bixby was the starter. And I say, you know what? This has a chance to be a good day. I kind of like our chances today.
Did he earn another start based
Hell
on
yeah.
that?
Okay.
I think so for sure, man. I think you got to ride with this rotation as it stands right now.
And it was his first start? I mean, you got to stretch him out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. He pitched 70 pitches.
Yeah.
Are we still – or we like I'm on the team. Is the team still stretching out Cademan Parker to try to go a little bit longer each time, or are they just going to continue having him in that, you know, kind of – actually kind of a random role, to be honest. But, you know,
seems like sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
Oh, it seems like he's the closer, you know, or at least in a, or okay. Let me not say closer. Let me just say like
saber
when it's,
I need an out now
when it's, oh shit time.
Yeah.
Then it's Cademan Parker.
When you're pulling Cole, the old shit lever.
Cole Klecker too, right?
Leverage situations, I think is what y'all are looking for.
That's the baseball way to say it. Yeah. But, dude, that's pretty cool. If we can have Cademan and Cole available for those super high-level spots. And because if this weekend is any indication, we're probably going to keep finding ourselves in similar situations. So, being able to go to those guys is going to be a huge boom for the Frogs, especially going into Texas this weekend.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a good spot finally in the bullpen. You know, I feel like we got 5 really good arms. You know, you mentioned Cole, you mentioned Cademan.
I feel like
Hunter Hodges.
He's had his ups and downs, but even Ben Hampton has his role, you know?
Yeah.
Ben Hampton is a lot harder to hit after you've been seeing 100 miles an hour all game.
Yeah. Dude, that curveball looked extra
slow. A-belt looked great.
Ben Abelt, Coyer,
Hunter Hodges is back.
Hunter Hodges, there you go. He's healthy. Yeah, I know we're in pretty good shape as far as the pitching and as far as the offense. I mean, there's some guys who are starting to get it going, especially at the top of the lineup. Now that you got Chase Brunson leading off, you got Sam Myers in the two hole now.
I was going to say there were some guys individually that had pretty decent weekends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Are the most, I guess, most consistent guys all year on offense is Chase Brunson and Sam Myers. And, you know, we talk about it all year, or we talked about it for years about putting your best hitters at the top of the lineup because, you know, you need to score runs when you have the chance. And I feel like we finally have a lineup that's kind of set up that way. Mm-hmm. You really, you know, the whole philosophy of spreading it out of the lineup, you really can't do that when, you know, seven of the nine guys are struggling or whatever. Yeah. So once we have those top guys at the top, and you know, maybe once we start scoring, you know, four or five runs, players will not feel as much pressure. Then they can start, you know, what was it you guys were talking about? Confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we start winning some games. We start gaining some confidence. We start hitting. We start winning some easy games.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you've got these two freshmen stepping up. It seems like a very similar, similar tone to last year, where you had, you know, Silva and Carson Bowen, who were really stepping up offensively, but you still had kind of that senior leadership, Braden Taylor and Trey Richardson and guys who are picking up, you know, different parts of the order. Even Eli did well in the nine hole. So now you've got Chase and Sam Myers who are doing really well, right? Sam's on a six game hitting streak. I feel like Chase has a hit one or two every game.
Yeah.
We're still kind of waiting for that turnaround of some of that, those sophomores and juniors to really pick it back up. I think we believe in them. We've seen it, right? We've seen it actually happen. It's just, when is that actually going to click outside of maybe having one or two good hits a weekend, right? Carson Bowen had a home run. Curtis Byrne had a double. You know, Logan had a triple. Like, they can hit the ball. It's just, how do we string those things together?
Yeah, I mean, it's really troubling when, like, the guy's getting, you know, almost most of the at-bats. You have ops of 624, 621, and 571. That's going to kill your offense. Like, that's got to turn around.
And then you got Luke Boyers, you know, comes out on Sunday, has the game of his career. Not only on offense,
now, but he's third on the team in ops.
In conference play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Behind Logan and Sam.
Not only was he getting it done at the plate, he was making some spectacular catches in right field. Stealing outs. I mean,
Dude, Luke's been kind of an unsung hero.
Mm-hmm.
These, especially this weekend.
Especially this weekend when we won games. You know, like, it's nice to see that some individual efforts are translating to some wins between a couple guys in the lineup and, of course, the pitching.
Yeah, but when you know you're winning games 4-2, 4-3, you know, when you steal those outs, you know, the other team only has 27. So if you're out here making great plays and preventing runs from being scored, I mean, we have a far greater chance to win games and win
series. That is something we've kind of overlooked, and I think because it was so shaky in non-conference. But in conference play, you know, depending on how you measure it, we've had the best defense in the conference. You know, we pretty much every game we've won is because we've made fewer mistakes than the other team. Like, if our pitching and offense can keep us in there, it seems like the difference has been an error. Like the drop fly ball in Logan on Saturday is a good example, or the way Houston kicked the ball all around the field.
Mm-hmm.
Or we won a game against Oklahoma State 1-0 on an unearned run.
Because
we didn't give up the unearned run, you know? Man, so we're stealing games with defense and pitching.
That Ryder Robinson made on Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of bad luck from Tech there, but screw it.
We'll take it. You're right, it was bad luck, but that guy slid like 10 feet before the bag.
Yeah,
like,
they're legally required to do that.
So when the player is right there, you have to slide before him?
Yeah, otherwise it's automatic double play if you stay standing up.
I was just thinking if you ran around him to get to the base, but I guess
I think with him on the move, it all happened so fast. He just did what he could to not get an automatic double play.
Yeah. I think the most impressive thing, Ray was saying is just basically not just tagging a guy, but getting it out of his glove to throw it to first base so fast.
That was a good play.
Okay. What else on the Frogs for the weekend, folks? What else is in your toolkit there?
I think we covered everything from an individual game and player standpoint, right?
I think so.
Back to the Big 12. Frogs do move up one spot. They still have a lot of work to do. We've got West Virginia and Oklahoma tied in the conference lead, 11-4. Behind them are Oklahoma State at 10-5. And then you've got just this plethora of teams with 9, 8, or 7 wins all the way down to TCU, who is third to last in the conference. So anyway, Jacob, any observations just from kind of upcoming schedules and kind of what we can hope for?
Yeah, man. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what does TCU got to do to win the Big 12? And it started with winning 2 of 3 against Cincinnati. Well, that didn't quite work out. But then we said they needed to sweep Tech. Well, got close, but you know, we have a lot of ground to make up here, so we need to find some sweeps. So I've updated the projections. The margins are getting a little thin, guys. We're going to need to go to Austin and sweep. Okay, let me just cut this short and say we need to sweep every game for the rest of the year. And like, is this a silly conversation? Maybe, but you know, if we just go back to the drawing board and say, who's the most talented team in the conference? Who do we expect to win? It's still TCU, right? Like the season hasn't played out that way, but it's not like we were projected to finish 10th and we're talking about how do we still win the conference. We were the unanimous decision preseason to win the conference.
Yeah.
So it's in there somewhere. Not everybody was that wrong, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, man. Going to Austin and getting a sweep sounds like a tall order, but it's not like Tech's been lighting the world on fire. Or I'm sorry, Texas.
They have not.
Yeah, no, they're sitting at 9-6. You know, they've lost a series to BYU. They haven't swept anybody. LeBaron Johnson Jr. is not in the rotation anymore. At least he wasn't, I think, last week, because he's been getting lit up. So they got pitching problems.
I didn't realize Baylor took him to 11 innings. Huh. Wow, they lost that game.
Texas is tied with the most losses at home in the Big 12.
There you go. Baylor. So tell me, like, what's K-State done last couple weeks? I think they're 1-5 last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You tell me we can't sweep them?
Yeah. I'm less concerned about Texas, Kansas State. Baylor's is okay. But then you've got West Virginia, who's kind of surprising, you know, in the lead, right, for the conference. They're 11-4.
So if it plays out the way I project it, we'll be 3 games back of West Virginia going into the final weekend.
So no jokers.
If we finish, what a way to send off Randy Mazy, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a nice turnaround from getting swept last year? It was like,
right, right. So we finished 19-11. That puts us in a tie with OU and West Virginia. So OU, we need them to lose a series to Oklahoma State, to Tech, and to not sweep Baylor, Cincinnati, or BYU. So that we need a lot of things to go our way right now, or otherwise either West Virginia or OU is going to run away from us.
3-way tie, do we host?
Okay, so we can go there because that would put TCU on, gosh, let's just take non-conference out of it. That'd be a 14-game win streak. We'd be conference champions.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, our RPI, would y'all like to take a guess at our RPI right now? If you know it, don't say it.
I'm very scared about this.
34.
No. Is that your guess?
I'm going to go way higher than that.
32.
Okay, Ray. It's, yeah. You know what, Ray? You just do the rest of the segment then if you want to cheat. Yes, it's 32. So that's probably a lot. Okay, so I'm seeing a guess in the comments. Thomas is saying, guessing 80.
I thought it was higher too, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, same. Dude, I mean, what are the bad losses, right? Now, okay.
Cincinnati, UTA.
Right. So I was looking at this. Cincinnati is at 75. So that's quad two. So we got a lot of things on the
edge. If you add here. 3 quad two losses, that's almost a win, right?
Yeah. Okay. So for example, Houston is at 99. So if they drop to 100, those mm-hmm. 3 wins go down to quad 3 and our RPI drops. So it's a very fragile 32.
Come on, Burgers.
But if we go on a 14-game conference win streak,
I think they would take
we'd be in the hosting conversation.
Yeah. I think they would take that into account as being one of the hottest teams in the nation. You know,
the only problem is, I think if you look across the country, is just how top heavy, like the top, say, 10 teams are. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's not room for us to host, but it could be a hosting quality team. But dude, if we're sitting here talking about this in a month, how we got screwed out of hosting when right now we're not even in the Big 12 tournament, screw it, man. I'll take it.
I was going to say, if that's a conversation we're even able to realistically have, that's a huge, huge win.
But man, we've got to get the offense going. I'm sorry. I can't say we're going to win enough games to really make some noise if four is a record day.
Dude, is Cincinnati cheating? They're 12-3 at home and 5-13 on the road.
Yeah, they turned around and got swept after sweeping us, which I think is what Kansas did. After they beat us 2-3, and I think they went and got swept. No, we got – did we get swept by Kansas? It's hard to keep up with all these sweeps.
Lost 2-3, yeah. Those 12 Cincinnati students are too rambunctious in the stands.
They're just really getting people's heads up there.
Yeah. But other contenders, Texas or Oklahoma State could finish 18-12, hopefully. Texas 17-13. I mean, that's really, really kind of it. Everybody else is kind of 500 or worse.
How low in the Big 12 standings do you think we could be and still be in the conversation to host?
Well, I think we get a lot of leeway that, say, like Texas Tech doesn't get because of what we've done non-conference. Like, yeah, we can pick apart Arizona State. Oh, they're not that great, or UCLA, but it's still better than everybody else's non-conference. Mm-hmm. So I think, all right, here's what I think. I think if we can get to 500, 15-15 with our non-conference, then I think we're pretty good.
For like, as hosting? Far as getting in the
No, hell no.
Okay,
no.
Getting, okay. I was getting in say, the tournament. All right.
But, dude, that's still what? An 8-4 run?
Yeah.
So,
but still, it's all order. But we can get it done. Dude. Just got to freaking score. Like, some missing runs, the tournament. Baby.
Yeah, missing the tournament is a real scenario right now.
It's a tall order, but it's very reasonable to expect that. You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a very reasonable expectation.
Either win every series with two games, or you sweep one team and, you know, lose an away series or something. I don't know.
If you take 2 of 3 from each series from now on, that gets you in the tournament. That's exactly. 15-15.
And that's when they can turn it on for real.
Sure, dude, depending on the draw.
Just like the NBA.
I mean, you never know.
You know, nothing happens into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, you could have a 1 seed get upset by the 4 seed, and you know, now your whole season is turned around just based on.
Have you heard? I don't. This will never happen, but the idea of like Major League Baseball teams or NBA teams being able to like pick the team they play against in the first round if they're like the 1st seed. Because, you know, sometimes you play a team that's like rolling in hot, like the Diamondbacks, and they get all the way to the World Series, you know. Interesting concept.
Yeah. I just wonder how that would work for seeding going forward in the tournament, like the 2nd round.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it is interesting.
All right. What else did we miss, fellas, before we sign off of here?
I'm good.
Yeah. Martin, any other observations for the weekend?
Nope.
Ray?
I mean, at this point, it's kind of getting repetitive. I mean, yeah. How long can we complain about the offense, yeah. You know, week after week?
The All of Navy guys out there Saturday was pretty cool. And the air show was pretty awesome. Those are fun parts of the weekend. Saw the Blue Angels over my house. That was pretty sick.
Nice.
I kept thinking about Jack Nicklaus and A Few Good Men when I saw them walking around in their blank white uniforms.
You see that one go up there and beat that guy in push-ups on top of the.
Oh, I wanted to go. I wanted to take him on so bad. I'm like, come on, let me get me up there. Let's go.
That was great.
Ray, you taking a power nap tonight, or are you pushing through?
No, definitely a power nap. As soon as I finish my taxes up for 2023. I don't know if you know this. Right? This is tax day.
You got 3 more hours.
I owe $20, so I think I'll be okay.
I sincerely hope no one's finding this out on the Post Game Beers podcast on Tuesday, April 16th.
What's one day of interest? Less than a penny? I think you're good, right?
Okay, fellas. Well, a pleasure. Frogs are play at Abilene Christian. We do expect that game to go on tomorrow night. Is that accurate?
Yep.
Okay. 6:05, and then they'll head to Austin for a 3-game stretch against
which
the Horns.
They will win. I guarantee it, they're winning this weekend in Austin.
That's the Ray Cartwright guarantee. Your producer's on it. That would be 2 in a row for Mr. Ray. So let's climb up the way of the big, let's climb up the Big 12, you know, a few more wins, and let's have some fun this weekend watching online. And we'll see you guys on Twitter, on the Discord. As always, go Frogs.
Go Frogs.